Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of your church, that is, the believers throughout the world, we thank you for the many ways you bless us through word and sacraments, so that we are assured of God's love and forgiveness. We confess that we do not always appreciate the wonderful blessings of the Bible, nor read it as often as we should. Send us your Holy Spirit to help us understand the mysterious ways of God's grace, the precious promise of salvation, and the great blessings of being a member of your church. Motivate us to spread the seed of the gospel that others may hear and understand the wonderful blessings you have won for all people. Keep us from everything that hinders our hearing of your word, and grant that the word may take root in our hearts and lives, that we always be assured of eternal life through faith in you, in whose name we pray, amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is written in the 13th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the first verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded up a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear hearers of God's holy word, once again, a change has come into your life. There is a change from your pastor to a vacancy pastor and a new face. Once again, you may have asked, does God still love us? Why did God call our pastor away? Is God angry with us? Is there something wrong with us? And then the big question, will God send another pastor to us in the future? Over the 60 years of this congregation, we can see, even from the pictures downstairs, that God has provided pastors for us in different ways. He has kept the word here. He does bless us with people to proclaim that word and to tell it to you. God is not angry with anyone, and especially with us. Indeed, we are to understand that he works what is best for his church and whatever changes happen in our lives. It is important for each of you to understand and to trust Jesus as the Lord of the church, but also to trust Jesus as the one who has given us his word. It is important that you trust that word in God's promises, no matter what happens in your life. For the devil would gladly snatch that word out of our lives so that he would turn us away from Christ and from the truths of his word. The text for this Sunday emphasizes the importance of God's word in order that we may hold on to it as our most prized possession. Let us consider Jesus' parable of the tare, or the sowing, so that we hear and understand God's word. Our theme for today is hear and understand God's word. What does this mean? It means that we watch out for whatever hinders the word in our lives, and that we rejoice in the word that God has given to us as our gospel and good news. Now, Americans tend to want to change in their lives. Restaurant owners understand that they have to add things and change the menus in their restaurants, especially the fast food ones, in order to get Americans to come back again and again. They want change. People get tired of reruns during the summertime, and so they're looking forward to the new shows in September, whether they're good or not. And every Sunday, the mega churches are changing the way they do services in order to attract new people and keep other people coming back in order to do the same things. Now, we might say, well, the Lutheran Church is going against all this because we have the same liturgy every Sunday. We have the same law and gospel every Sunday. We do the same thing. We're not people that are changing like the world wants. But you see, God's church should be out of step with the world. It shouldn't expect to have the same expectations that the rest of the world has. We follow our shepherd who says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." God's word does not change, you see, with the times, or with the culture, or with the philosophy that is in the world. Jesus says in our text that not everyone will hear the gospel, and we are to not be surprised when that happens. Now, when people hear about the parable of the sower, they often conclude something wrong about this parable. They often conclude that Jesus is speaking about people as bad soil or good soil. That this means that some people by nature are either good and obedient soil, or other people are defiant soil and refuse to listen to God's word, or it gets choked out of their hearts, and therefore it is the person that is important. And this is an important understanding for many people. But this understanding would mean that we get the credit for being good soil. We get the credit for listening to God's word. The whole Bible testifies that this is wrong. This is not true. The Bible talks about the fact that we have a sinful nature that is corrupt. That sinful nature hates God's word, refuses to listen to it, doesn't understand the things that are of the Spirit of God. By nature, we all have broken God's laws. We are all under God's wrath and punishment because we have not kept his law. We cannot understand God's word except by the help of the Holy Spirit. So left to ourselves, all of us would be that hard, rocky soil that refuses to listen to God's word if it were not for the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the natural man does not receive the things that are of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This teaching is why our synod exists. We heard in synod convention how there were people that were saying that some people, God foresaw that some people would come to faith and he chose them. And so then that puts us in the driver's seat, that we had to come to faith first before God chose us. That it's possible for us to do that, to make a decision for Christ. Dear friends, that's false teaching. Because by nature, we cannot come to Christ or believe in him. Now, Jesus is not talking about different soils in the heart. He is talking about different ways of hearing God's word and listening to it. That is, some hear the word and reject it. Some hear it with joy and faith, but have no root to withstand trials. And some let the things of this world choke out their hearing of God's word. When we no longer hear God's word, we no longer have faith in Jesus as our Savior. If we no longer have faith in Jesus, we are lost and condemned sinners. We do not go to heaven. We cannot, because we are under God's justice, his righteous justice, as we said in Bible class today. In Jesus' time, a farmer sowed seed by hand. He had a bag beside him and he reached in and threw it out. And for the most part, a good farmer would be able to scatter it in the right places where he wanted it. But there is always some seed that goes different places. And that's the illustration that Jesus wants to make here. In this parable, the seed is the gospel, that is the word of God, the good news about his promises, about Jesus, about the Messiah. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So we believe and confess that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and kept me in the true faith. If we are good soil, it means that we are listening to God's word, which means that the Holy Spirit has opened our hearts to understand that word, which means that the Holy Spirit is the one who gets the credit for us being good soil. Now, Jesus pictures three negative responses to the soil that we need to investigate and look at. That is the hard earth, the thin soil or the rocky soil, and then the soil with thorns. As far as the hard earth is concerned, the path, if the devil plucks the gospel from our hearts, how else can the Holy Spirit work on our hearts? Many people refuse to listen to God's word out of pride. I can do better, or I don't need the gospel. Or they may think that their own reason is above the gospel and the Bible simply doesn't make any sense when it talks about creation or that we are all sinners or Jesus is the only way to heaven. Others trust science and philosophy more than God. And others do not want to believe that they are such great sinners that they need somebody to rescue them from their sins. Such people, the devil plucks the word from their heart so they cannot hear it, cannot understand it, and they are lost. Affliction and tribulation and persecution cause others to stumble even though they hear the word. Jesus states that the people who hear the gospel receive it with joy and yet has no root in himself. This is the emotional response to the gospel. It's like the Jerusalem crowd who on Palm Sunday cried, "Lord, save us," but then on Good Fridays cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." Those who have no root are surprised when trials and persecutions come upon them. Some people think that the gospel simply makes us have a better life, when indeed it opens us up to Satan's attacks even more, and the attacks from the world. God doesn't promise that we are going to have a good life because we're Christians. He promises that we will have eternal life through Jesus' faith in Jesus Christ. But many people do not think that it's worth being a Christian if they have to endure persecution and trials and afflictions because of their faith. They weren't rooted in the word, so they did not trust God's promises that he would always be with them in spite of everything that happens in their life, that God would bless them and help them. The danger of the thorny ground comes from a different direction. The soil is not rocky or hard. The people are rooted in the word, but to them, the gospel is not the pearl of great price. That pearl of great price parable is where they sell everything in order to hold on to the gospel. You see, the gospel to them only becomes another benefit living in this wonderful and rich world that they live in. If those riches are threatened, if the world comes upon them and says, "You are hateful," or "because you believe this or that," if the world attacks, these people simply don't want to listen to God's word anymore. The thorns choke out their faith because the things of this world become more important. In just four generations since World War II, the devil has choked out the faith of many people and families in our country. It's sort of like what happened in the days after Joshua died. Three generations later, a generation grew up that did not know the Lord and did not worship him. The devil wants that to happen to you and to me. And he tries mightily in order to drive us away from the word, to help us to see that there is reason that is more important, or help us to see that the joy is in this world, or that we don't have to endure persecutions if we simply follow what the world says. So the question then is for us, which is more important? Is it God's word or is it the world? It is Jesus' intention by this parable in order that we might rejoice in the blessings that God gives us through his word so that we hold on to it more than anything that is in this world. In this parable, Jesus pictures the seed that falls on good ground. The farmer puts the seed where he intends that it grow and produce fruits. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus instructed his disciples that repentance and remission of sins be preached throughout all the world to all nations. That preaching of the law and gospel is the message that makes disciples of all nations. God's law declares that his commandments are to be kept perfectly in thought, word, and deed. Whoever breaks just one commandment is guilty of all of them, as James says. The law's purpose is to show us our sins, not to pound us down into the ground, but to show us that we are lost and condemned sinners before God's holy and righteous justice. The law cannot save us, but we need to listen to the law in order to show us how sick we are in regards to our sins. Therefore, the law drives us to Christ because Jesus is the only answer to our sin and to God's justice. The gospel is pure promise. It tells us what God is doing and has done to rescue us from our sins. The gospel proclaims Jesus as the Savior of the whole world, of all people, who has come to rescue us, to deliver us. That example of those people in Thailand in a cave, those young people, they're still there. They can't get out. They're trapped by rising water. One person already died trying to rescue them. Now, that's you and I under the law. There is no escape. But God sent Jesus into this world to rescue us, to bring us to eternal life in heaven. Jesus had to be true man in order to keep the law in our place and to suffer and die in our place. Jesus also had to be true God so that he could rescue all people and keep the law for all people, and so that he could die for all sins that are in the world. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, he pronounced forgiveness for all people. The Bible says Jesus was delivered over because of our trespasses and offenses. He was raised again because of our justification. And that passage means that God has pronounced all sins to be justified, to be declared forgiven because of that resurrection. And so we have the promise in Jesus Christ. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's God's word. And St. John wrote, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. And a few verses later, John writes, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then Jesus adds the promise. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. These gospel promises are God's word. They are the good news that you and I need to have in order to be saved, to be rescued from our sins. Through these promises, the Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts, even today. Even though we've had faith many a part of our lives, we are to grow in our faith, to grow in our trust, no matter what happens in our life, to know that that word is precious, more precious than anything else in this life, in this world, because that gospel is our life. Here again, that promise, whoever believes in me has passed from death into life. Their sins have been forgiven. They have eternal life. That's God's promise. Is there anything in this world that's more important than that promise? Can we endure anything? Because we have the promise of God's word. God's word and sacraments, baptism and Lord's Supper, are the means by which the Holy Spirit brings this gospel into our hearts, to sow the seeds of faith so that it grows up in our lives and produces much fruit. Fruits of faith, fruits of trust, fruits of living in as a Christian, fruits of telling others about Jesus. St. Paul wrote, "As you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught." But then he adds, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men." So the question today is not, are you good or bad ground? The question is, what kind of hearers are you? Are you listening to God's word? Are you believing it by the power of the Holy Spirit? Or are you rejecting it and saying, "I don't want it"? Those who have ears to hear, hear because the Holy Spirit has given them ears to listen and to understand God's word. We need to watch out for Satan's attempts to turn us away from that word. We need to rejoice in the most precious possession of God's word in order that we may hold on to it forever. And those who hear God's word will be engaged in telling others about the precious gospel, that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, that Jesus has promised eternal life to everyone who believes in him as their Savior. May God bless us as we hear and as we speak God's word. Amen. Let us rise for the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.